Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Today's message is when you can't say no. Very brief review. Faith is the very essence of the spiritual life. You are saved by your faith, for by grace are you saved through faith. When you have faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His body to pay the sin debt of the world, you are saved. Once you're a Christian, you've trusted Jesus Christ, God wants you to live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. You are saved by faith. You are to live by faith. And to show you how important it is as a Christian to live by faith, we have Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. God wants us to live daily trusting Him. We were created by God to be dependent upon Him. Therefore, to try to live apart from Him is a life of incredible discouragement. It's designed that way. It's to drive us to God. We have seen many times in the messages here at this church the importance of your thinking. And proper thinking is faith in God. It sees you through the trials and tribulations of life. But how many times we don't have proper thinking? Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's proper thinking. Your heart is your foundational thinking. The problem is, we lean often to our own understanding. This ought not to be. Doesn't mean we don't have to think. It means we need to make sure our thinking is in alignment with the truths of God. And we're following and being led by Him. Well, recently we have considered Hebrews chapter 11, which is a chapter filled with testimonies from Old Testament saints who had faith in God. And the overwhelming theme that we see in those Old Testament saints is that they were called to do something and they could have said no. Noah could have said, no, I'm not going to build an ark. Abraham could say, no, I don't go to cities where I don't know where I'm going. And you can go down the list as we have studied in detail. They could have said no, but they had faith when they were called out of their comfort zone to step out and do what God wanted them to do. Well, this is surely a testimony to us to live by faith. When God calls us to do something, we need to do it. But today, we're going to go a little different here and see a different aspect of faith when you can't say no. God allows something in your life you had no say. Now what do you do? We have been studying when God asks you to do something. Today, God doesn't ask. He just brings something in your life. Both require faith. So it is, both scenarios, in essence, reveal faith, demand faith. Do you have faith in God when you could say no? And do you have faith in God when you can't say no? Both are important. Think about it. Today we're looking at things that come into your life that you have no control over. How about you were denied a job opportunity? How about you were unjustly fired from your job? How about you were robbed? You have a car accident. Your car or home was vandalized. Someone you trusted disappointed you. Your identity was stolen. You were unjustly accused of something and punished for it. The electricity failed and all your food spoiled. Your plumbing leaked and caused great damage, and on, things that come to your life that you had no control over. Now do you have faith in God? As Christians, it is important how we respond to the hardships of life. They tell much about you. Every person is wronged at times. Every child of God suffers at times, and it's how we handle these. So today, we are going to diligently consider when you can't say no, because it's a very real part of life. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 are a very, very familiar passage in Scripture. We're going to anchor on these today. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, he cuts to the quick and goes right to the issue. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Gee, I wonder why he wrote that. My guess is they weren't counting it all joy. Know this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The trial of your faith. Look back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. But without faith, it is impossible. As a Christian, if you do not live by faith, you are not pleasing God. It doesn't say it's difficult to please him. It says it's a virtual impossibility if you are not living by faith. When you are called, when you could say no, and when you come into different trials that were beyond your control, have faith. You see, God is working to develop your faith because it is that important. Who's the only one that can try your very faith in him? He can. People can be an irritation. But wait until God literally pulls back and it seems that those prayers don't go any further than the ceiling. God pulls the rug out from underneath us and we had no say in the situation. It is in these times we must have faith in God. I have used this before, but this is a classic illustration. If you have a cup of boiling water here and you put a tea bag in it, what happens? The boiling water causes the tea to come out into the water. But the boiling water did not put the tea in the bag. It only revealed what's in the bag. When we are put in the boiling water of trials and tribulations in life, the reaction that comes out wasn't caused by the boiling water. It only revealed what was in your heart. Some people can take a hammer and smack their thumb and they don't say anything. And others are different. And it says what's in their heart. Both hurt. When we consider this tea bag illustration, there are times God puts us in boiling water. And what comes out was not put there by the trial. The trial only revealed what you really were. Folks, anybody can fake an action, but nobody can fake a reaction. It happens instantaneously. Pay attention to your reactions. They will tell you a whole lot about yourself. I want you to try this. This afternoon, go home and hit your thumb with a hammer. If you do that, that will tell you a lot about yourself. And it wasn't good. We really need to pay attention to our reactions. Because God will bring things into our lives that says, do you trust God or do you react in a negative fashion? Pay attention. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Written to believers, my brethren, born again people, you are to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Let us consider some key points to these simple verses and their very profound truths. I want you to see James chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Scattered. Do you realize he doesn't know his audience? They're scattered. It's not like they're all in one church and they're going through a building program. Or they're all in a church and they're going through some particular difficulty. Or whatever has happened. These people are scattered. I have no clue who I'm writing to, but I know it. You need this. Even though you're scattered, I don't know if you're rich or poor. I don't know if you're male or female. I don't know if you're master or slave. I don't know if you're short or tall. I don't know if you're popular or less popular. I don't know if you're blue collar or white collar. I don't know. But you need this. You need this. It's got universal application to all Christians wherever, whenever, and whosoever they may be. Everybody needs this. Even we do 2,000 years later. It is just as pertinent to us as it was to them. I want you to consider verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into. Implying unexpected. Had no idea. It also implies when you fall into something, you're surrounded by it. It completely engulfs you. That's actually what the root words there drill down to. Completely encompassed. If we could, we would say, how did I get here? And the answer is, God did it. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that? How did I get here? We fall into. It's not necessarily our fault. It is something that God has done. He let us come into this situation that overwhelms us. You can't ignore it. How did I get here? God did it because He is trying your very faith in Him. That's why He did not bother to ask your permission. Quite in the contrary, you could say no. Mm-mm. Not anymore. Now you can't say no. I want you to get this, that these trials do work by God for good. James chapter 1, verse 3. Know this, that the trying of your faith works patience. This trial is not some isolated event that occurred by chance. It was designed by God for an express purpose. And because there is purpose in our suffering therein, we must find joy. Because God is in control, and nothing can happen to a believer that God has not ordained. Nothing. And God is only capable of doing good. Even when it seems bad, it's drawing us closer to Him, so it's good. And it's having its perfect work in us. It's developing patience. Verse 3. Know this. Know this. Know this. God wants your thinking established. Again, the importance of our thinking. Would you know this? Now that you have come into this situation beyond your control, God never asked your opinion. I want you to know that God is working patience in you. God does not want His children wandering around, gee, I wonder what God is up to in my life. And someday when we stand before Him, He says, oh, by the way, here was my will for you. He wants you to know now. We may not specifically understand all the details. Do you know I think it's God's will that I'm the pastor of this church? Now, did I say I'm great? No. Do I think I'm the best? No. But would you have much confidence in me if I stood here and said, well, I really don't know. I really don't think I should be the pastor of this church. I want you to call a plumber and say, are you any good? Well, not really. Would you want him fixing your kitchen sink? He's allowed to know he can do a decent job. We're allowed to know some things. Know this, but there are many things we won't know. And when we fall into these situations, a lot of it is going to be, what happened? Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts, God says, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. Folks, we're not going to understand much of God. This is why faith is so important. And yet God commands us, know this. It's going to help you tremendously to know that God is up to something good in your life. The end result is going to be patience. Therefore, when you have a trial and your reaction is impatience, it is telling you, you need this. Your very reaction is evidence that God is really working something in your life that's quite necessary because you don't have patience. He says this, my brethren, in verse 2, count. Take an accounting. Sit down and think about this situation. Truly assess. Now, wait a minute. And think about it in light of God and having faith in Him. Know this. Therefore, how do you know it? Stop and think. Assess the situation. Now, the one thing I want to caution you about is when you come into a trial and tribulation in life, you're going to do this. Well, it's Satan attacking, or is it because I'm being punished? Or is God teaching me something? Or is God trying my faith in Him? Shh. You will drive yourself nuts. Just know God is in it and ask God to guide and direct and show you what you need to learn, lead you where you need to be led, and grow from it. But if you try to analyze just exactly what God is doing, you'll go crazy. But you're allowed to know He is working patience. Knowing that God is working surely puts your mind at peace. Knowing that He has an expected end, and by the way, we'll be rewarded with joy. Sit down, calculate it, and count it all joy. Think about the situation, and when you come to the right answer, and God tells you what the answer is joy. So keep thinking about it until you find joy, because the answer is joy. God told you what the answer is. Now assess the situation, and you got it when you have peace and joy. Trials are very difficult. This cannot be denied. God never asked His people to live in denial. And He is literally trying your very faith in Him, and it will strain your thinking. Dear God, where are You? And it seems sometimes when it gets so hopeless and the situation is so overwhelming, and God says, now do you trust Me? And you see, what happens is when you trust God in these situations and He does them over and over again, you start to have a track record when you respond properly, and you start to look back and say, well, God saw me through this, and God saw me through this, and God saw me through this. And remember, these are situations you had no control over. And God showed Himself faithful. God will literally try your very faith. How? Very real hardships. Let that soak in. When you think you can't take any more, God says, hang in there. That word joy is a calm delight. I want us to consider joy in light of an example. Consider Jesus Christ. How did he endure the cross? Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. When you count and you finally settle in your brain that this is good, God is working a perfect work, you will know that joy is the result, because you're now able to see the whole situation differently. God is working in my life. And that ought to tremendously affect your thinking. Jesus saw the good that would result from the cross. Therein he found strength and joy in his suffering. He could endure. He could go through this because he was looking beyond. Number 6. Patience is not something we learn by study. You can't read a book or go to a seminar and walk out with patience. You may pick up some pointers on proper behavior, but ultimately God has to work patience. James chapter 1, verse 3, know this, the trying of your faith works patience. You don't sit down and read a passage of Scripture and get up and have patience. Yes, you need to hear the Word. You need to let the Word soak in, but ultimately God has got to do things in your life that lets you live and apply Scripture, and that is patience. We may need coaching, but ultimately you have to do it. I started out this whole series by pointing out that nobody can develop your faith. Nobody can develop your patience except you. If you need a ride to church, somebody can help you. If you need patience, it's up to you. If you need faith, it's up to you. You can be encouraged, but ultimately, you have to do it. We have here a contrast. The believer is to accept the hardship, even though he had no say in it. Accept it with a good attitude. Count it all joy, sit down, take an assessment of the situation, see God in it, find joy and peace, knowing He's working for an expected end. On the contrary, don't take an assessment and find joy, throw an adult temper tantrum, and have a bad attitude. God is not pleased. It says in verse 4 of James 1, you have to let patience have her perfect work. When we are throwing a temper tantrum, we are not letting God work in our life. We must get control of our thinking. And proper thinking is trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. We have to let this happen. Did you know that's not natural? The natural reaction to discomfort and pain is pull back. And God is saying, in this case, it's a spiritual truth. I want you not to pull back. I want you to see me in this situation. Let us learn to count it all joy instead of crying foul and cry to God to take it away. No, Lord, help me to learn and have your work in my life. It says in verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse, various temptations. You see, they will come in different forms. Some may have health issues, some may have financial issues, some may have work-related issues, some can have family issues, and the truth is we'll all have a mixture of these. And they're all doing the same thing. They are teaching us to have faith in God. Because God is the God of your job, of your family, He is the God of your health, He's the God of your whatever. Pick one. And He knows exactly where you need work. And He knows exactly what's going to get your attention. Oh, Lord, not that. And the Lord says, oh, yes, that. Did you know that patience and endurance cannot be developed quickly? I want patience and I want it now. Doesn't work. Patience establishes your priorities. And this is essential. You see, when it seems that God does not hear our prayers, our faith is sorely tried. We look to God and He seems to not hear and answer. And as the days pass and the problem still surrounds us as we have fallen into it, it is painful. And that strain really is in our faith in God. Do you trust me now? Do you have faith in me now? And as you start to endure day by day, dear God, and He does say it is a very real trial. And the longer it sits on you, you start to realize things like this. You know what? A new car or a new house is not going to take away my problem. Remember, we started out with different things that could happen. A missed job opportunity, we're unjustly fired, you're robbed, car accident, vandalized, disappointments. A new Mercedes-Benz will not give you any pleasure. And as you sit in these trials, you start to realize, dear God, what good would it do to have $1 million? Because the trial is very real, and if you stop and think about that, what God is doing is rearranging your priorities. And what does He want you to finally conclude? I don't want anything but a relationship with you, dear God. Would you please look at James chapter 1, verse 4? Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. Underline it, circle it, highlight it, wanting nothing. Dear God, all I want is you, and you don't seem to be there. And God says, you're getting it. You're getting it. This is the ultimate purpose of a trial, is to rearrange our priorities. We don't want anything. Question? Why does God try our faith in Him? Answer, that we may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Perfect, meaning a completeness. Entire, complete in every part. And what is a complete person? Somebody don't want anything. Old Testament. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. James is saying, wanting nothing. When God is truly our shepherd, all I want is you to lead my life. God says, you got it. It's all I want. Things don't make me happy. I don't want anything. James chapter 1, verse 4, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be. He wants to change you. What does He want to change? Your thinking. Your priorities. Natural reaction? Take it away. Biblical teaching? See God in it, count it all joy, and let it have its perfect work. Spirituality is not something that's natural. We have to be led by the Spirit. We have to be into the Word of God. We have to be among God's people. We have to give God time and let Him work. Because He will work. And a believer with a bad attitude will never find rest for his weary soul. Because he is not following God's plan for finding joy. Take it away. No, don't take it away. Help me to see you in this, dear God. Well, we have now gone from when you could say no. No, Lord, I don't do arcs. I don't do lion's dens. No. Now it's when you can't say no. It comes upon you without your permission. Watch your reactions, because they're going to tell much about you. And God wants you to understand. He wants you to change. So He's going to help you to see this. Are you angry about your trials in life? You're really angry at God. It's really what you're mad at. Because God is the one. The student sits in a classroom, and the teacher assigns homework. Did they do that for your good?
No, the teacher does that to be mean, right?
Because the child needs to go through those lessons. Because when they come out on the other side, they're a better student. Faith is the very essence of the spiritual life. We are saved by faith, we're to live by faith, and by faith we please God. The beginning of the Christian life is faith. Let that hand represent you, me, every person on this earth. We all come into this world with a sin debt. Let that billfold represent sin. And God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. Oh, this is the beginning of the Christian life. This must be understood. God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin, and there is nothing the sinner can do to get rid of this. Walking aisles, raising hands, joining churches, giving money, none of that gets you to heaven. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I get it. There is nothing that I can do to get rid of that sin. But realize God made the provision in His Son, and let that hand represent Jesus Christ. He came into this world, God in the flesh, and He came to be the ransom for many. When He was on that cross, the sin of the world was on Him. Because He was the only one that could pay sin's debt. He gave up the ghost 3 days, three nights, rose again, paid in full. Death could not hold Him. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I get it. God loves me, but He hates my sin. And try as I may, I can't satisfy that. And if I die with this on me, I'm going to spend eternity in hell. God has paid the price. How much easier can God make it? I get it. Jesus paid my sin debt 2,000 years ago. Everybody's sin debt. He paid it. It's not my works, it's what Jesus did. And when I put my faith in that, God knows my thoughts, you have eternal life. How much easier can God make it? For God so loved the world, but He hated the sin, that He gave His only begotten Son to pay the sin debt of the world, whosoever believes. Believes. In Him, in His work of redemption, shall not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. The Christian life begins by faith. Then, once you have trusted Christ as your Savior, now every day and all day, live by faith.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.